Many urban legends are about things that we're never actually going to see with our own eyes, which is one thing I love about today's subject. If you can get to Scotland and are willing to do some traveling and hiking, you might actually get to see, for real, one of the most frightening apparitions anywhere in the world. The Big Grey Man of Beinn Macdhui. That's up next on Skeptoid. Head on over to skeptoid.com/store and explore the Skeptoid store where curiosity meets cool. We have books, socks, shirts, hoodies, and more. Check out our slick new Bigfoot design, where the mystery of this legendary cryptid never looked so good. And while you're here, don't forget to grab a Skeptoid USB drive, your portal to all episodes and all our movies, now including the UFO movie They Don't Want You to See. That's not all we have planned. We have a lineup of way more cool stuff coming soon. So head on over, skeptoid.com/store, and snag your swag. This episode is sponsored in part by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You're listening to Skeptoid. I'm Brian Dunning from Skeptoid.com. The Grey Man of Beinn Macdhui. Today we're going to venture into the Scottish Highlands, to the bleak and misty summit of Beinn Macdhui, the highest peak in the Cairngorms. At only 1,309 meters, it's hardly a giant compared to other mountain ranges, but it boasts a spectral giant of its own who lives there. Because of its high latitude, Beinn Macdhui is well above the treeline, and its rounded summit is a desolate field of windswept stones. It is as foggy as it is remote, yet none who venture there ever seem to feel quite alone. For more than a century, hillwalkers have been stalked by Amferlia Mór, Scots Gaelic for the Big Grey Man. He's known best for his footsteps crunching in the gravel just out of sight, but for a certain unlucky few, the fog has thinned enough that they caught a glimpse. The Grey Man stands at least three times as tall as a man, and is dark and very thin. Some say he is covered in short brown hair, like a horse. But all who see him are filled with dread. It is impossible to discuss the Grey Man of Beinn Macdhui without relating its most famous account, that of Professor J. Norman Colley of University College, London, expert in chemistry, fellow of the Royal Society and the Royal Geographic Society, past president of the Alpine Club, and member of the 1921 Mount Everest Committee. His scientific and mountaineering credentials were in good order. At the 1925 meeting of the Cairngorm Club, an association of hill walkers of the Scottish mountain range, he told the following tale.
I was returning from the cairn on the summit in a mist when I began to think I heard something else than merely the noise of my own footsteps. Every few steps I took, I heard a crunch and then another crunch, as if someone was walking after me, but taking steps three or four times the length of my own. I said to myself, this is all nonsense. I listened and heard it again, but could see nothing in the mist. As I walked on and the eerie crunch sounded behind me, I was seized with terror and took to my heels, staggering blindly among the boulders for 4 or 5 miles, nearly down to Rothiemurchus Forest. Whatever you make of it, I do not know, but there is something very queer about the top of Beinn Macdhui, and I will not go back there again myself, I know.
Colley's story is today by far the most famous account of the Grey Man, but it was neither the first nor the most dramatic. In 1958, naturalist and mountaineer Alexander Tunian wrote in the Scots magazine of what he described as the strangest experience of his life.
In October 1943, I spent a 10-day leave climbing alone in the Cairn Gorms. One afternoon, just as I reached the summit cairn of Bain Mac Dhui, mist swirled across the Larrick Grue and enveloped the mountain. The atmosphere became dark and oppressive. A fierce, bitter wind whisked among the boulders, and an odd sound echoed through the mist. A loud footstep, it seemed. Then another and another. A strange shape loomed up, receded, came charging at me. Without hesitation, I whipped out the revolver and fired three times at the figure. When it still came on, I turned and hared down the path, reaching Glendarry in a time that I have never bettered. You may ask, was it really the Fair Liam Mor? Frankly, I think it was.
The list of witnesses to the Grey Man is long and includes many other experienced mountaineers. Does the Grey Man stalk the fells of the Cairngorms? Or might there be some other explanation? As it turns out, Bain Mac Dhui does create a natural dead ringer for Fear Liam Mor. Brocken specters had probably been frightening people for thousands of years, but it wasn't until 1780 that Johann Silberschlag, a German member of the Prussian Academy of Sciences, first characterized them after observing them on top of the Brocken, the highest peak in northern Germany. Like Bain Mac Dhui, the Brocken is a relatively low, rounded hill, often shrouded in fog. Silberschlag found that in foggy conditions with uniform water droplets and sufficiently strong sunlight penetration from a low enough angle, his own shadow was visible on the fog itself. Gently rounded summits, like Brocken, Bain Mac Dhui, and many others, often create ideal conditions for this, since you can stand facing downhill with the angle of the sun behind you matching the angle of the slope. If your shadow lands on the ground, it won't penetrate enough fog to create the effect. You want a long, deep shadow stretching off through the fog. That effect can be striking. The Brocken Spectre manifests itself as a very tall, very thin figure of a human, usually with disproportionately long legs. In many cases, a solar glory surrounds the specter's head. Glories are circular, multiple-ringed rainbows caused by the backscatter of light when looking directly away from the light source. They can often be seen when you're in an airplane and you look straight down at the airplane's shadow. Brocken specters can result from any light source, not just the sun. A full moon, or even a lantern or flashlight, will produce the specter if the fog conditions are right. In particular, the sun and the full moon still produce enough light even when they themselves are not directly visible due to the thickness of the fog, such that there is no perceptible cause for the specter. And in such cases, the appearance of tall, ghostly specters can bewilder even the informed scientific mind. That the Brocken specter is the source of at least some of the Bain Mac Dhui encounters is a certainty. As far back as 1791, the poet James Hogg was tending sheep on Bain Mac Dhui and saw the following.
It was a giant blackamoor, at least 30 feet high, and equally proportioned, and very near me. I was actually struck powerless with astonishment and terror.
He fled home in a panic, and when he went back the next day to collect his sheep, the monster returned. This time, Hogg experimented, removing his hat, and observed the figure do the same thing. He was satisfied that what he saw was merely his own shadow in the fog.
Are you ready to take your Skeptoid experience to the next level? Head on over to skeptoid.com/gopremium to become a proud member and unlock a world of exclusive benefits. Picture this: ad-free listening and extended versions of every new episode, diving deep into the mysteries and real truth without interruption. Take this opportunity to elevate your journey and join the Skeptoid community today. Skeptoid.com/gopremium.
Although the visual sighting of the Grey Man himself is the most dramatic element of a meeting, it's not the most often reported. The majority of Grey Man encounters consist of sudden, unprovoked feelings of fear or of a presence, with nothing seen or heard. but it is the sound of footsteps that best characterize the gray man. Nearly all reports include this, and have since the reports began. Two brothers heard the footsteps atop Bain Macdui in 1904, slurring footsteps as if someone was walking through water-saturated gravel. When they returned to the Derry Lodge, they were told, "That would have been the Fair Liamore you heard," 11 years before Collie regaled the Cairngorm Club with his tale. As fog thickens and thins, temperatures fluctuate, and rocks expand and contract and split. Ice also splits rocks. When either of these happen on a slope, a rock may tumble. These actions are, in fact, entirely responsible for the crumbled stone of which Bain Macdui consists. Even on a calm day, rocks make such noises, everywhere. Animals, such as deer and wildcats, abound on Bain Macdui. The reason Alexander Tunian had a pistol on his 1943 trek was to shoot hares and ptarmigan. Hikers disturb nearby creatures, and hiking anywhere will always produce the sounds of some scattering animal. There's no doubt that these sources of sound account for at least some of the noises reported by gray man witnesses. Of course, suggesting possible sources for the sounds perceived as following footsteps does not prove that something unknown wasn't actually following some of these hikers. If it was, it remains unknown, and does not constitute evidence for a tall, hairy man-beast any more than it constitutes evidence for a sprightly leprechaun. What's needed is testable evidence, and as it turns out, there has been one case of the gray man's giant footprints being discovered in the snow, and photographed. The footprints were seen and the photographs published by J.A. Rennie in his book Romantic Speyside, and the prints he found were in the Spey Valley, some 15 miles away from Bain Macdui. The prints
were running across a stretch of snow-covered moorland, each print 19 inches long by about 14 inches wide, and there must have been all of 7 feet between each stride. There was no differentiation between a left and a right foot, and they proceeded in an approximately single line.
And that's where the popular tellings of the gray man's footprints end, only with the observation, and not with the observer's own explanation. For on a second occasion, Rennie saw such prints again, and this time he watched them form in the snow. They were the result of precipitation. And in his own words, Rennie said of the footprints,
"In that moment I knew that the Wendigo, Abominable Snowman, Bodach Moor, or what have you, was forever explained, so far as I was concerned."
Thus we're left with no evidence that the physical feet of an unknown creature have ever created the sounds of footsteps on Bain Macdui. Some of the other most often cited evidence of the gray man also weakens under scrutiny. Although Norman Collie's story is widely considered the most authoritative, it should be taken with a grain of salt within the context of Collie's personality. According to his biographer, Christine Mills, he was a lifelong believer in the occult. In later years, after 1933, when the Loch Ness Monster became a phenomenon, he also became a firm believer in that, which, like the gray man, he never saw. It's an often overlooked point of Collie's famous story that he did not report seeing anything. He only heard footsteps and felt frightened. Mill wrote that Collie would often tell stories around the campfire or in his den of Gallic mountain gods and goddesses and other legendary creatures, and as she put it, no one quite knowing how much he was believing himself. Unfortunately, nothing about Collie's account raises its status from that of campfire story to that of useful evidence. And the realm of campfire stories is perhaps where the gray man of Bain Macdui best belongs. Never underestimate the power of nature to magnify feelings of dread, loneliness, and isolation. Everyone who has spent a night in a tent outdoors knows the effects of small, unexplained sounds on the mind. The cold, foggy Cairngorms are the ideal place for such sensations to augment, and for our animal senses to trigger animal responses. The gray man need not be a physical creature for it to be, as far as our minds are concerned, utterly real. You're listening to Skeptoid. I'm Brian Dunning from Skeptoid.com.
From PRX.